So today's lesson, we're going to be looking at sin, our sin nature, and our condition. This was way long, and hopefully I didn't cut too much out. So let's see how it goes. So we'll start by looking at creation itself. First off, we know creation was planned by God. Oh, come on. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So obviously, we were created in God's image. And then Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So creation was direct and immediate, and it didn't involve any evolutionary process. Okay, and if you entertain the fact that Adam might have been created by some sort of evolutionary process, certainly when you read this passage, Eve was not. And I don't know how you could say one was created and one was evolutionary. So let's go ahead and read the passage. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has been taken out of man.'" So we already saw that man was created in the image of God, and I'd like to look at a few more verses on that. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." 1 Corinthians 11, 7. "For man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man." Okay, and then 1 Corinthians 11, 7. Oh, wait. Double slide there. Or double verse. James 3, 9. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God." Okay. And then Genesis 5. "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness." So thus says, Adam was made in the image of God, so his son was also, or and we, bear the image of God. So what is the nature of man? What are we composed of? James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So we're going to step through some verses here looking at body, soul, and spirit. And this verse in James pretty much describes death as a separation of body and spirit. Oops, excuse me. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So here we get a glimpse that there seems to be some sort of separation between soul and spirit. First Thessalonians 5:23, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this seems to indicate, Thessalonians, that the spirit and soul may be the immaterial aspect of man, and the body, of course, the material aspect. We're going to continue to flesh this out as we go through verses. 1 Corinthians 15:44. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So here there's obviously a distinction made between our present body and our resurrection or spirit body. And so is it possible that natural body also means soul? It turns out in Revelation, John sees souls in heaven. So obviously they may be physical, but they do have a spirit component as well, or immaterial component, I should say. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And then Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So again, we have souls in heaven. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So from this verse, it appears that flesh and spirit can both be corrupt or be filthiness. And then in 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So these fleshly lusts are competing against our soul. Mark 12:30. Anybody need to get up and get coffee? Just go ahead. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So in context here, he's kind of listing heart, soul, mind, strength, all kind of worldly components, if you will, of our consciousness. And that's what I wanted you to see from that verse. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So my soul in Hebrews is referring to who? God. So obviously, since God is spirit, souls can have... since it's referenced to us and God here, both a material and an immaterial component. So if you look at the word soul, in Hebrew it's nephesh, is how you pronounce that. And in the King James there's 753 uses. And you can see for soul it's translated 475 times as soul. For life, 117. Person, 29. Mind, 15. Heart, 15. Creature, 9. Body, 8. And going on down all the way to 47 miscellaneous uses. So in Genesis 35, we have the death of Rachel here. Then they journeyed from Bethel. And when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Ami, Ani, but his father called him Benjamin. So from this account, obviously, we see that upon death, the body and soul do separate. So again, the soul has a immaterial part. So from these verses, I kind of want you to see that the soul is, and I cut many out, you could see 753, various spiritual and emotional experiences for us. It covers all those, and some of the emotional experiences that are referenced with soul are in Job here. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? He has not my soul grieved for the poor. So we have sympathy displayed here. And then in Psalms 43:5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So here in Psalms, we have the emotion despair. And in 2 Samuel, "Now David said on that day, whoever climbs up by the way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house." So obviously we have hate as an emotion of the soul described here. And of course there were many, many others. Love, bitterness, grief, just goes on. And then in the New Testament, the word is psyche. Come on. Acts 2:41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and in that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And then in Matthew 10:28. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So kind of sum this very brief look into the soul. The soul seems to be the principal focus here in the New Testament anyway of our redemption. And throughout Scripture, it can refer to the whole person. It can refer to whether you're alive or dead, as we saw souls in heaven. And it has both the material and immaterial part component. And it's basically how through which we display our many feelings and emotions. Any questions so far? I want to look a little bit at the spirit. So unlike, or spirit, which is Rauch or Pneuma here, refers only to the immaterial part of man, unlike what we just saw the soul, which is both material and immaterial. Numbers 16:22. "Then they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" So from this verse you can see that basically it says spirits of all flesh, so the spirit comes from God. And in Hebrews 12:9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjected to the Father of spirits and live?" And here we have the Father of spirits. So you can imply all people have spirits. And 1 Corinthians 2:11, For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. We have the spirit of man and the spirit of God there. Oops. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here in James we see the separation. Death is defined as the separation of body and spirit, just like we saw also with soul. Death is defined as body and soul. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Colossians 1:9, and for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I just wanted to kind of summarize soul and spirit here. Again, spirit doesn't indicate the whole person, but only the immaterial part. And again, that functions more on our salvation or redemption and is associated with those functions and feelings. Oh, I missed one. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, and 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And obviously this is how we worship God. We have to worship him in spirit, as he is spirit. Now we're going to take a look at the original sin, and we'll start with the creation, quick account. In Genesis, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. I mean, so at this point we see that Adam possesses powers of understanding and reasoning, that he named them as he chose. Picking up verse 20, so Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we're going to look at the fall, and of course we know Satan's desire was to be like God, and we see that here in Isaiah 14:4. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. So let's read through this account of the temptation and fall. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the Spirit, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing the good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are accursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which he turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So I thought it was worth reading that whole thing. If you think back on the passages, one question is, why do you think Satan chose to talk to Eve rather than Adam? I'll get to that in a minute, okay? It occurred to me when I read it again, and why he chose Eve. And I mean, the best argument that I thought of was the commandment was directly given to God, from God to Adam. So Eve was, she got the word indirectly through Adam. And of course, Eve quickly forgot the blessings from God, and she began to rationalize all the benefits that they had in the garden. And, she looked upon the physical needs, how good the fruit was, how it could nourish her, and then the benefit of knowledge. And so she took an ate and then gave it to Adam. So let's quickly go back through these passages and look at the consequences of what happened here. So in verse 7, they found out they were naked and covered themselves, so obviously there was a sense of guilt of being naked. In verse 8, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and immediately there was this loss of fellowship with the Lord that is evidenced by them hiding. There were consequences on the serpent, and he was cursed. And then on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust. There were consequences on Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So basically this enmity conflict, basically between Satan's followers or the lost and the woman's seed, which of course is us, the family of God, that conflict would be there forever. And did that answer your question at all? So the enmity between Satan's followers here, or the seed and her seed, it's basically Satan's followers and the family of God or Christ's followers, that there's a conflict between those two groups. Oh, okay, you're right. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So that takes into account, looking forward, that Satan will be punished, and that he will bruise, or what's the right word to say? He will... basically, this refers to Christ and Christ on the cross, harming Christ. Let me go on, and I'll come back to that if I need to. And then in verse 16, there's the consequences on Eve and all women in general. And in pain, they shall bring forth children. And desire shall be for your husband. And I think Pastor taught on that already. In verse 17, it didn't come out right, but the entire earth was cursed. And because of that, we and Adam would have to work for all the food that we eat. And again, in 18, thorns and thistles, it says basically the same thing. Consequence will be for working for our sustenance. Previously, if you look at tending the garden, Adam, it was basically referred to as not being work. It was kind of joyful. So now... now it's defined as work. Verse 19 says, we'll return to the ground. So we now immediately, Adam and Eve started to die, and the process of death began at that point. And then there was the expulsion from the garden, and basically, in a spiritual sense, from fellowship from God. So we're separated from Him. So a few other things I want to glean from this account is, one, you could see sin affects others, right? Eve's sin affected Adam. Adam's sin affected the entire race as well as the earth. And in general, no sin is really a private sin. And obviously, you can be forgiven for your sins, but they can't be undone. We have, Esau as an example, couldn't get his birthright back. Moses couldn't enter the promised land, and examples just go on and on. So, with the fall, what is man's spiritual condition at this point? Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. So, again, we read this verse, I believe, before. And, again, Adam was made in God's image. And now we have all the offspring also in the image of God, even though they're in this fallen state, or we're in this fallen state. Psalm 51:5, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So we have this sin nature which is passed down from Adam. In Romans 5:12, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So again, immediately after the fall in the garden, Adam and Eve's bodies started to decay in the process of death. Looking in the New Testament, Ephesians 2:1, In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Now whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So our sin nature affects every facet of our being. And without God, you can see how dark we are. Romans 6:20, For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. And 7:20, Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So our personal will is enslaved to sin, and as such, we're in opposition to God. I'm going to skip this one. Isaiah 64:6, But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In Titus 3:5, we have these Awana verses here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 20:13, The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And of course, this is what will happen to all of us. Judgment, Romans 3:23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm just trying to drive home our spiritual condition. John 6:44, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up that last day. John 6:65, And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him by my Father. John 12:32, And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Matthew 13:11, He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So what's the cure for man's spiritual condition? It's basically grace. And I'm going to go ahead and stop right here. I apologize. I had quite a bit more information, and I had to cut quite a bit out. I think it flowed much better, but and I did skip a few slides here. Perhaps I skipped the wrong ones. But I'll go ahead and close us in a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day that we can freely worship you. Father, pray that today's service would be pleasing to you and that we as a church would be good representatives of you. Again, we ask for your blessing in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.